number 253479 on newlookfitness@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought to an association with our very good friends at Bob Ellis Lottery promoting youth, sport, and culture.
And Lloyd off the back foot crashes it through the covers. That's four more runs. Beautiful shot by Lloyd. Full of confidence. Floyd back foot shot off the meets the bat and racing away to the boundary. McCosker in the covers had no chance of getting it.
This tiny young fella by the name of Chiwa left all the way from China because of Kerry Packer. He said he heard so much about cricket, but he wants someone to explain it. Death match between Australia and we, so we start listening to the commentary. He hear the ball swinging. He started asking about Tarzan. He want to apply for the job as the night watchman. Just then he hear fingers. He say like married people can't play this game. When he hear the bowler of a third man, he say them homos ain't have no shame.
Tries to cut it out for the wicket. Marsh takes the chance as Richard tries to cut. Just got a full edge onto it. And the Australians naturally dubious of getting the prime West Indian wicket. Richard caught Marsh, bowled by Bright for 88.
Imagine my calamity. Explaining cricket to the shiny. He never played cricket before. So he starts saying stupid things in galore. Everything he wants to consume. He went and turned up the volume. Radio blasting in my head. He continues saying things that are dread. The boy to the chest allegory. The boy that is dangerous. He asks me if that means Richard getting 3 months sickly for court. The bowler that was spinning. He wonder if he gets Malkadi. When he hears Clive Light get his entry, he says somebody take toilet paper quickly.
Ready to play. Out of the ground, beaten completely there at the face. Roberts ready put everything into that one and gets his revenge after that 6 shot.
He hears this feeling slip. He says she ain't have no shame. A backward point and silly medon. He tell me what a stupid game. Then he hear about long leg, fine leg and short leg too. The man turn and tell me like this game is for retarded people. He hears two batsmen pad up. Well, the tiny partner was shocked. Roberts on the attack. He says, war, so he going back. Just then, the bowler googly. He said, that tiny fella live next to him. Then umpire say over, but he didn't know. You know, he went and he take off the radio. Ready!
I don't think you want it to be
six weeks
is a long but to train cricket. Maybe when you look at the IPL and one, sometimes it's just too much and people can really get, you know, it's just a time as well.
Fellow, is it too long?
Oh, you look at it and do. If you look at Fellow, she started just from King today, 10 matches already. Don't look at they're qualifying for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
How long away do they have?
Right.
To get to the playoffs. have to be very long. So it's something that the BPL committee will have to look at. I mean, I know from a logistics point of view, it's going to be very difficult for traveling.
Mm-hmm.
It's a regional opportunity you look at, you know, the Florida and stuff like that. So they obviously they will have their council looking to see how best they can, you know, maybe cut off some of the fat that they have to see. And make it a little bit more leader. I'm more interested. Because sometimes you find that so many matches are being played that people just get disillusioned. Mm-hmm. And they see plenty of cricket. And people, you know, people will get turned off at a certain stage in competition. Now the competition will gain interest now because you're coming in out to the qualifiers and the finals. So interest will be rejuvenated. But if you look at the game tonight, where the Chinese are playing in Taipei, it's going to be interesting that game.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will get disillusioned. Plus, the performances of some of the franchises were so poor that people got turned off from game time.
Mm.
And I think as well, Phil, when you look at the Tridents and I think it's St. Kitts and St. Lucia Stars,
mm-hmm.
who have got 5 home games straight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's too much as well. When you're playing 5 straight games at home I think that certainly that's a mistake. While other teams like Guyana played 3 at home, they've gone outside. Trinidad has played 3 at home, they've gone and to come back and then play. I think that sounds better than rather than having 5 straight games at home.
Interesting. Yes or no?
Yeah, because when you look at it, when you play 5 games at home, like Trinity, you try this for example, even to kickstart, to lose start, and you start to lose, you have no way to turn. You're facing it day in and day out. And you can imagine the pressure that Jason Holder, Robin Singh, Peter, and Barton Drake, and those guys in the back, with staff, along with the members of that franchise, they're facing that losing feeling every day. There's no way they can hide in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, I think that the thing you look at it, the way old Ken Baber made it, started with 3 and coming back for 2, maybe that can help. But obviously, the CPL organizers, defenders, we're going to get the kids and take his start. St. Lucia Stars, they're 5 games at home, and Barbados, they're 5 games, and try to generate that interest. Well, people will get fed up. Barbados lost 5 games, and the numbers will start to dwindle when it comes to pound support, because they're losing all the time. So those are things that would have really weighed down as well. I believe they'll get it right, Andrew, but they need to just bring a bit more local flair into this cricket, because I think that, you know, we're losing our identity as the Finnish cricketers.
Mm-hmm. Now, gentlemen, let's look at the overall competition. Now, we've spent a lot of time on the Tridents. Match 27, of course, we're going to have 34 matches overall. Let's start with Clyde Butts. Who do you think will win this? Or is it too difficult to call?
I said this to you before, that the Trinidad Knight Riders would be hard to beat. But having said that, and you look at the way how Jamaica Tala was playing, I think they're playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
And they have got a very good lineup as well. So I think those two teams, if they don't reach probably in the semifinals, I think you'll see those two teams in the finals. I'm not counting out the Amazon Warriors, because I think they play some good cricket. Tactically, they're good. Yes, their batting hasn't really come to the fore as much, because they depend a lot on Hetmyer. But looking at them, they're practically the best team, but they certainly need to improve in terms of the batting.
So you're saying that TKR will win this then, Clyde? Can we quote you on the prime time sports tomorrow morning?
They will be hard.
And what do you say, Phil, in relation to that?
Well, Andrew, I am on the same page as Clyde, because I think that the TKR are going to be hard to beat. When you look at them, they're a very good franchise. They're well led. They're well organized as well. The Knight Riders have really come in and shown what quality is required to play in such a tournament. I said it on another forum that Jamaica, Talawaz and TKR would be in the finals, but I don't want to discount Guyana Amazon Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, tactically, they're the best side. And they play smart cricket. Yes, they've been to the finals on a number of occasions, and they've never won it. And under the leadership of Riyad Emery, you know, a guy who continues to emerge, you don't want to come out with that Amazon Warriors. So I would think that when you look at it, he care to win, but I look for a Talawaz or Ghana Amazon Warriors to face him at the large stadium, Black Academy in Taruba. I'm not so certain about the St. Kitts and Nevis pictures because they're still sporadic. Gale has not really fired as we expected from him. So, you know, he said that he wants to win the tournament. Said, I know he plays smart, but I think they still have a lot to do. But when you look at TKR, they're the front leaders, the front runners to lift this by the Indian Trophy.
All right, gentlemen, thanks very much for coming through and talking. This is always good to hear from you. Thanks to you, Clyde Butts there in Georgetown, Dan, of course, fellow Wallace, Bajan to the bone, but now living in TNT, the land of Calypso. Gentlemen, thank you for coming through and talking to us and listening again. All right, so we're going to pause for a business pause. When we come back, we're going to certainly get some reaction from you. Mason and Guest is brought to an association.
On his way to Bolton, big left-handed West Indian captain Waite tapping away at the crease. Walker is on the way, and Lloyd off the back foot crashes it through the covers. That's four more runs. Beautiful shot by Lloyd, full of confidence, flowing back foot shot off the meets the batter, racing away to the boundary. McCosker in the covers had no chance of catching it.
This tiny young fella by the name of Chiwa left all the way from China because of Kerry Packer. He said he heard so much about cricket, but he wants someone to explain it. Test match between Australia and we, so we start listening to the commentary. He hear the ball swinging, he started asking about Tarzan. He want to apply for the job as the night watchman. Just then he hear fingers, he said like married people can play this game. See them homos, they have no shame.
The ball away from Richardson. Rubs his fingers in the soil, comes in once more. Richards goes back, tries to cut his out for the wicket. Marsh takes the chances, Richards tries his cut. Just got a top edge onto it. And the Australians naturally jubilant at getting the prime West Indian wicket. Richards caught Marsh, ball by right for 88.
Imagine my calamity, explaining cricket to the Chinese. He never played cricket before, so he starts saying stupid things in galore. Everything he wants to consume, he went and turned up the volume. With his radio blasting in my head, he continues saying things that are dread. The boat to Richard.
Puran just gave some cameos. Ashley Nurse missed more balls than he hit. And, you know, there was no one to really give you that power. And we had too many players that were similar and orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
You have Amla and Smith. And, you know, you really should have had them batting early opening or one down throughout. And, you know, the Barbados team never performed at a level that would be required for a T20 match. We got to 100 at around 13 overs and 14 overs, and we never had an explosive start, except for maybe in the first match. So putting up scores that weren't good enough in a T20 match really put us at a grave disadvantage. And to make things worse, the bowling was neither penetrative or contained. The stats bear out that the Pakistani pair of Irfan and Riaz were the two best bowlers, but when you look at the others, you see our problem. We only took 37 wickets before this match, and the average that the other teams were taking was around 44, 45
right.
wickets.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a big problem with wickets indeed. And when you look at the batting, only Hope scored what's a decent 30 runs per inning.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was able to come up to the par score for a T20 batsman. So all the rest of the batting failed. And, you know, we never really were able to contain. Nurse went at 8.52, Holden 9.93, and you know, even the guys we tried.
Which Holder?
This is the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Shamar Holder was 9.42, so all the others were really high, and there were times.
Reefer was 10.
Yeah, there were times when you saw the captain trying to take the initiative and lead from the front, but he was unable to control the flow of runs or make the break. And, you know, he bowled consistently short, never short of a good length that would be uncomfortable, but short of a length that would be much more easy. So the muddled approach to the game showed that the management team also was was in grave difficulty. Mm. The chopping and changing of the batting lineup, never really playing the same batting lineup at any
so many
one
changes,
match.
So many
and,
changes.
And also realizing that the two Pakistanis were our best bowlers, we didn't utilize them. We tried all sorts of, variations.
Mm.
And you know, when you think about it, Can was also underutilized, and he showed a level headedness in the one innings he played.
And he also bowled
quite decently. So it's puzzling why Can, with the third best economy rate of the bowlers, with the little exposure that he had,
only played in
three
matches. Indeed. Well, we always like to break this down. The stats are very important, and we go to notice statistician Harold Eastman, who's on the line. Good evening to you, Harold. How are you?
Well, good evening to you, Andrew, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Right.
And listening to your guest, I was wondering if it was necessary to have me on the program.
Okay.
So he was statistically astute, as they say.
Indeed. Okay, so do you want to add to anything he said?
Just to corroborate what he's been saying. In my opinion, watching especially the five games played at home, and the stats that I'm going to give you now are based on the games that we played at home.
Okay.
Our average batting power play in those games was 43.2.
Say that again. We're going to write this down. The average
batting power play
was
that's the Barbados batting power play.
43.2.
Was 43.2.
Uh-huh.
And we lost an average of at least 2.2 wickets in the power play.
Okay, 2.2.
At a strike rate of 7.2.
Uh-huh.
And in my opinion, this is where Barbados lost most of the games, because those 2.2 wickets were made up of our marquee players. It was either Dwayne Smith, it was Amla, Guptill, or Steve Smith. And that is what affected the momentum of the batting further down in the order.
Mm-hmm.
And for the rest of the innings, because if you look at that, and then we also suffered a bit in our wicket taken in the power play, because losing at almost an average of about 3 wickets in the power play, when we bowled, we only took about just an average of about 1.6 wickets in the power play when we bowled at the start of the innings. So the Barbados Tridents were getting off to a very slow start and losing wickets, and then their opposition then were getting off to a pretty okay start. And not losing a lot of wickets. And that's where, because in most of the games, we at the Barbados lost the game with balls to spare.
Yeah, indeed.
After batting first.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give a breakdown of the batting of our marquee players.
Right.
We had Steve Smith scoring 185 runs from 7 matches at an average of 26.42 with 150 and only 4 sixes. And the reason why I'm mentioning it, you're going to see the reason why I'm mentioning the sixes.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of my production.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Dwayne Smith, 148 runs, 7 matches, average of 21.24, 150, and only 3 sixes.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Guptill, 116 runs for 7 innings at an average of 16.57, 150 with 5 sixes. And Hashi Amla, the worst of the lot, 69 runs from 5 matches. He's actually batting at present, because the score, in case you wanted to know, Barbados batted first. They are on 66-3 from 9.5 overs. I had another slow start. As a matter of fact, you just say that Amla is batting, but he's just been dismissed. He's just been run out.
So that's 4 now? That's 4 now?
Yeah. No, it's 6-3.
Oh, for 3. Okay. Mm-hmm.
For 3. Off 9.5 overs. That means that it is a 6 match.
Mm.
Just getting off for 3 overs. He scored 72 runs.
Oh, dear.
In his 6 matches. But his average before this game was 13.8, no 50s, and only 1 6 from Amla. But what was significant is that from our four marquee players, which is Dwayne Smith, Steve Smith, Martin Guptill, and Hashi Amla, we only had 13 sixes from those in the 8 matches that they played.
13 sixes.
13 sixes from our marquee players.
Mm-hmm.
But the revelation came, and this is really a surprise game from Shea Hope.
Right.
Who scored 261 runs, who has scored 261 runs from 8 matches at an average of 37.28 with only 1 half century, but he struck 13 sixes.
Mm-hmm.
So Shea Hope alone, and we know how Shea Hope normally bats very conservative,
right,
and very safe. You know, there's some people who would have felt that he's not the average T20 player, but he by himself struck the same amount of sixes as our 4 marquee players all combined.
Mm-hmm.
And this was followed by Nicholas Puran, who scored 179 runs from the 8 matches, and he had 11 sixes. So in all in the 8 matches before the one being played now, which is being played in Warner Park in Cape, the Barbados Trainers only struck 44 sixes in the 8 matches.
Mm.
And that was the lowest by any team in the tournament.
Okay. What about batting averages, though? Because I know that they batted quite a bit. Did they win a toss in Barbados?
I didn't really check on that. But I know they lost most of the tosses.
Right.
They
batted first on many occasions and could make an average of 150 or so.
Yeah, they actually batted it. The matches, what really put the Trainers to the sore with the matches at home, because when they came home, they had already had two out of three matches.
Right. This is pretty good.
It's those five matches at home that really put the nail in their coffin.
Mm.
I know that you're on the point of the CPL, but you know, a great player has just announced his retirement from Test cricket, and Alistair Cook.
Right.
So, hey, would it be okay for you to take
quickly?
Mm. Yeah, Alistair Cook. But he's still retired as a pretty young man at the age of 33 years old. He played at 161 Test matches when he played. When he started the test match against India on Friday at the Oval in London, he batted 289 times, 16 not out, and listen to this, 12,254 runs, which makes him the sixth highest scorer in Test cricket. Only Sachin Tendulkar, Ricky Ponting, Jack Callis, Rahul Dravid, and Kumar Sangakkara are ahead of him. And obviously he's scored the most runs for England. And listen to this. He has the most runs from England by a whopping 3,354 runs. The closest person to him is Graham Gooch, who scored 8,900 test runs.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an average of, as an opener, batted 289 times. An average of 44.88 is a great average.
Mm-hmm.
With 3,256 50.
Tremendous.
And as captain, he captained in 59 tests, won 24, lost 22. That's 13 draws.
13 draws. Won 24, lost 22, and 13 draws.
And 13 draws.
Mm-hmm.
And just before he got the last ball of the 10th over being bowled now by Mamada, and the Barbados score goes on to 67 for 3.
67 for 3.
And the rain is actually falling.
Yeah, and again there, as we want to thank you, Hal, for coming through and those stats. Again, the start, Dr. Ford, is not good at all. The power play in those first 10 overs, Bob, is struggling.
Yes, the lack of power. The team just isn't constructed to score 8 and 9 and over and 10 and over. So I think it's a construction problem. And as I said, an ethos problem. The management team found it hard to overcome that difficulty. And I guess it's back to the selection process next season.
Okay. Well, we're scheduled to speak to the chairman of selectors, Courtney Brown, at the top of the hour. So we're just about 10 minutes away. The West Indies side has been announced, and he's consented to come along and talk to us around 7 o'clock. Of course, you'll be keen to hear from the chairman of selectors, Courtney Brown. In the studios, of course, we like to promote our youth. In recent times, we've had, of course, Antonio Allen coming along, and earlier we had Jamal Smith, these are cricketers in Barbados. Jamal has actually played at the first class level. And, you know, even on Saturdays, we try to ensure that we have a lot of youngsters coming forward and getting an idea as to the knowledge of the game. And we're going to continue this, of course, on Mason and Guest. And in the studios this evening, we've got Kishma Catlin, who would have played, of course, for the CCC. He's come along to join us to offer his perspectives. He's making his debut. There's no sweat in this, bro. He's okay. Hello to you, Kishma. Nice to see you.
How are you getting, Mr. Mason?
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, he very formally says hello, good night, Mr. Mason. I'm honored for you to say that. But just call me Andrew. All right. Now, give me your impression, first of all, of the Tridents. We're paying special attention to them this evening. And why do you think the Tridents have done so poorly in this competition so far, Kishma?
Well, honestly, I had significant issues with the team selection from the inception. The Barbados Traders are actually having, I thought that the Barbados Traders are actually having seven seamers.
Seven seamers? Mm-hmm.
Seven seamers, if I can call it the name.
Sure.
You had Shamar Holder, Shamar Springer, Dominic Drake, Raymond Reefer, we'll have Irfan and Jason Hoda, the captain.
Mm-hmm.
That's also excluding Dwayne Smith. So
right.
You have eight seamers, in the say. I thought we had too many seamers.
Too many seamers.
And you were significantly lacking in the batting department. And that's why, unfortunately, in Dwayne Smith and Martin Gottfeld, experiencing bad form,
mm-hmm.
this competition, along with Amla, you didn't have much batting options to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You were then forced
mm-hmm.
to try to reshuffle the batting order and stuff like that. So we were just forced to use the same players over and over again.
Mm-hmm. So basically, those are the two reasons. I think it's a good point he's making, though. Lots of seamers, and you spoke earlier about the lack of depth in the bowling. I mean, no strike bowlers, really. I mean, we have got a couple of wickets, but when you look at this side, and I also feel that Barbados played a lot of tests and 50-over batsmen who can play T20 as distinct
yeah.
from out-and-out T20 cricketers. And maybe we're going to do an analysis on that. When you look at the construct of the Barbados squad, who are the out-and-out T20 batsmen in the side? That is something that I would really want to look at. I mean, when you look at people like Monroe and Lynn, these guys are T20
yeah.
specialists, you know, in batsmanship. And I'm not sure, and could be too, I may be wrong, but maybe some of these batsmen are on the decline. I mean, is Amla on the decline? If you look at his stats in Test cricket and in 50-over cricket in the last year or so, he's not been as consistent for South Africa. You know, Gupil has been thereabouts, you know, or Ross Taylor. So we've got some big names who are, in my view, on the decline. And I think this is something that we also need to look at as well. Dr. Ford, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, well, statistically, there are a number of individuals who've underperformed. And, you know, certainly Dwayne Smith is an out-and-out T20 player now, and he's had one of his less successful tournaments. And Puran also didn't perform in the way that we would
179
expect.
179 runs for the eight matches, averaging 29.83, on best of 46. I think you expected more than Puran.
And in a lot of matches, you found that coming to the waning overs, there was no urgency to really up the scoring rate and try to hit big boundaries. You know, we tended to hit singles and we batted as though we had many more balls left than we had in reality. So at no stage were we able to change gears into fourth or fifth gear.
Mm.
And the catching was extremely poor.
Yes.
So, you know, many chances that we had to...
I mean, you would have caught that not before.
Well, I think I would have.
You think?
Yes. Well, you never know. A fly might go into my eye or something. But we dropped a lot of catches, which really made a difference because, as I told you, we've taken the least amount of wickets among the teams. And in T20 cricket, taking wickets does slow down the scoring rate for sure. You can't expect to contain a side in a T20 match if they have wickets most of the time, even though on occasion we did have wickets and we weren't able to push on. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things that we have to consider definitely going forward.
Indeed. And the latest score there? Any more wickets going down?
Well, they're always wickets, aren't they? The latest score I have is for four, but I'll have to refresh and see what happens. But I'll tell you as we go on.
Mm. Any other things you want to comment on, Keshavar, in relation to the Barbados Trident? You spoke about so many seamers, the quality of the batting, the fielding was not as good as it should be. And the other thing to Kishmar is that they were not getting the runs. I mean, when you look at the average, if you're interested to look at the average scores, I would think it could be around 150. That's not good enough. But you're not going to win 50 over T20 matches making 150 runs.
Unless you have really great bowling.
Yes, and that, of course, is something that is a great concern to me. Is that concern to you as well, Kishmar?
Yes, it's a great concern to me also. You know, T20 is a batsman game. It's all about scoring runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really and truly a bowler friendly game. It's all about runs at the end of the day. And if you're not scoring high totals and you're just scoring 140 on par and stuff like that, those are very easy totals.
Right.
To mm-hmm. chase them.
Indeed. Yes. Well, it's certainly something that they've got to look at. in relation to the whole question of them. This is now the third year that they have not qualified, and this must be a great concern to the owners of the Tridents and the people in Barbados. I mean, they have very good support for the masses in Barbados, Doctor.
Yeah, definitely. A study in futility right now,
mm.
and which is deteriorating.
Mm.
And, you know, right now, 73 for 4. And at the wicket, we have Puran and Chase with only holder to come.
Mm.
So right now, at only 6.16 runs per over, you can already see that the
mm.
the complexion of the innings has really taken root, and it's going to be, looks like another low scoring
mm.
Inning unless someone
mm.
you know, breaks the shackles and comes out. But you know, it is puzzling that on no occasion we seem to be able to accelerate, and I
mm.
I don't know if Kishmar has a you know, any reason for that. It's a bit odd in this type of cricket for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or as I would have mentioned earlier, it all comes down to the batting, having a limited number of batsmen to
mm-hmm.
push on the total. Most of our batsmen this year, based on the stats that we would have just called out,
mm-hmm.
are actually struggling for form.
They are indeed, yes.
Right? So, the Barbados Tridents are just having a very bad tournament with the bat, and it continues
mm-hmm.
as...
Yeah, mm-hmm. Puran is right now 18 off of 17, and,
mm-hmm.
and Ralston Chase...
And the sixes?
Three runs out of five. We've hit four sixes and
mm.
and four fours, it would appear.
In fact, we got someone on WhatsApp. You can WhatsApp us at 2524679. Andrew, the Trident's team selection was poor. They lacked confidence. The leader was not inspirational. The experienced players did not come to the party, and they all disappointed us. Next year, we need a new captain. And we also need a new coach. Your response to that, Doctor?
I think we need a new team.
a new team construct,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I don't think, unless the captain is performing out of his skin, it's hard to really motivate. You have to lead from the front with performances here. And I think after a while, Jason was demotivated and the,
mm.
the situation got to him because his bowling. Like, there were times when at critical times he'd come in bowling over and he'd get knocked around quite a bit. He tried to come in at number three, and that's the one time he really shone with the bat when he did something kind of brave. But the other times he just fizzled and didn't make it. So he didn't have the support. He's a young captain, and we've seen two
mm.
poor seasons prior to this with someone who at one stage was arguably thought of as one of the best T20 captains in the region. You see that a captain doesn't make a team,
mm-hmm.
but definitely there are many areas in which the Tridents haven't performed, and that combination of failure is really the cause of our situation.
All right. Well, we announced that we're going to be talking to the chairman of selectors, Courtney Brown, and the West Indies side has been selected, of course, to travel that squad to go to India. And that squad reads Jason Hall, the captain, Sunil Ambrose back on the side, Devinder Bishu, Craig Brathwaite, Rostam Chase, Shane Dowers, Shannon Gabriel, Jamal Hamilton, Chetwan Hatmire, Shehop Azari Joseph, Kemo Paul, Kieran Powell, Kemal Roach is very much in the side, and Jamal Warrican. We are pleased to have the chairman of selectors, Courtney Brown, on the line. And first of all, good evening to you, Courtney.
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening, listeners.
Indeed. All right. Now, you've selected your side, of course, in terms of the contract of the side. Was it a difficult side to select at this time, Courtney?
No, it was not. I think everyone would know that going to India, you would want to have a second spinner.
Mm-hmm.
Young Jamal Warrican, he had a very exceptional 18 series against England.
Mm-hmm.
He also went up to England as well with the 18. And he also did reasonably well in the PCL. So he earned his spot. And we will see how he goes in India.
Indeed. And of course, he's got the experience of Devinder Bishu to support him.
Yes, but Devinder been working with Mustaq Ahmed.
Mm-hmm.
and we've seen some level of improvements from Bishu, especially in his thought process and how he approaches bowling. So we're hoping that he can build on that and, you know, and show us some consistency going forward.
Indeed. When I look at the construct of the squad, I note with interest that there's no Devon Smith this time. He would have played in the two home series that we completed. What's the thinking behind not picking Devon Smith?
I think, well, Devon had, after his exceptional regional performances, you know, we thought that, you know, we will promote him to the senior team. We've been for a few years now, for a very long time, we've been struggling with openers, or at least one opener, and we felt that he could have filled a void or a gap for us, but that wasn't the case. I think the thinking is now that we obviously have Kieran Powell, who has some experience, so we will use him back to support Craig Baffett at the top of the order.
Indeed, is that an area that concerns you, though, Chairman Brown, in that you don't seem to have, you know, solid, reliable openers? You seem to have to be chopping and changing at the top. Is that a concern, as far as you're concerned?
I think very much so. I think not only for us, but a lot of countries across the world are struggling with finding two quality openers. So we're always looking for those guys that could actually come in at the top and actually show some consistency. We just had an 18-tour where we had young Chandrapal Hemraj and also John Campbell. But again, the consistency that you would want to see, you know, it wasn't there. So those guys need a bit more development. So hopefully, you know, they will use the PCL to improve on their performances.
All right, good night, Mr. Brown. Looking at the squad. We have three potential wicketkeepers. We saw that Hope took the gloves when Dalrych was injured, but then there's Jamar Hamilton as well. Looking at the Hamilton selection, he usually bats in the middle. Does the selection panel see Hamilton as the best of the remaining middle order batsmen, or is he there as the wicketkeeper? What's the thinking with the Hamilton inclusion?
Well, I mean, there was when you look at Hamilton was sat on the bench against Sri Lanka for us. Hamilton, after the English were here, he stuck his hand up. He was given the opportunity to get into the squad. He hasn't yet out of the park yet to show us what he has at the international level. So I think that, you know, it's only fair, and in terms of consistency, and that's what we've been preaching as a selection panel, we would want to give him that opportunity.
I see. And someone like a Shamar Brooks, I mean, would he have been pretty close to selection, do you think?
Oh yes. I think we were very happy with Shamar Brooks' returns. However, you know, he barely missed out. And the good thing about it is that to have someone with the, you know, the runs that Shamar has now and the consistency shown over the last few months is very good for us. If you look back at West Indies cricket over the last number of months, you know, we hardly had anyone really sitting down with that we could really, you know, rely on in terms of having some good solid performances. And I think it's a good position for us. We want to encourage a lot more performances like this, not only from Shamar, but from other players, because we want to put selection pressure on the incumbent players. That's the only way you're going to build a strong bench. That's the only way the incumbent players would understand that they have to perform consistently to stay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say, I would not say that all is up to Shamar. He did well at the end of the day. We just felt that Amber and Hamilton should get the nod. As I repeat again, Hamilton was there on the bench, didn't get the opportunity. You know, we wanted to give him the opportunity. Ambrose was with us in New Zealand. He got injured, he went away, got fit again, you know, went back to 18 cricket and he did well. So again, for continuity, for consistency in the whole selection process, you know, we thought at this time that we will go with these guys. I mean, Hamilton, if you look at Hamilton's track record over the last year, Hamilton had at least 418 cricket, two against Sri Lanka. He had one against New Zealand A, and then he had one in England. So it was very difficult at the end of the day to, you know, to say to the young man, look, you know, we're not going to give you the opportunity again at this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and any serious consideration, Chairman, would have been given to Raheem Cornwall? I mean, he seems to be a pretty consistent performer, but hasn't been able to burst through. Is he close to selection?
I think we all know where Raheem Cornwall, stumbles, and that's where we talk about his conditioning. We have a team around Raheem. You know, they've been working very hard to get him in a good condition position. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, Warkan really stepped up and he did what he had to do, and he got the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's still a work in progress with Raheem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can only hope that he continues, you know, to work and work hard, you know, as general conditioning. And continue to perform at the regional level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, recently you articulated the criteria for selection that included, you know, production on the field,
mm-hmm.
but also conditioning and you know, commitment and also a studiousness for the game. How do you assess some of these other off the field attributes of potential cricketers for West Indies?
Well, one, what I would say, I think fitness is a massive thing for all international sports now, I mean, let alone cricket. And we actually assess our players, our contracted players, every year. And from this year, we actually started to penalize players who
Who didn't
hit their marks in terms of their fitness assessment, and some of them have actually lost some money. So it's something that we're taking very serious, because cricketers, when you look at international cricketers, you know, they're coming as athletes now. There's no more you know, taking it easy and international cricket anymore. You know, you have to work on your conditioning. You have to work on your fitness. You know, you have to come ready and willing to go. We started a program maybe just about 2 years ago where, you know, we came up with a standard, and we're trying to get all of our players up to the standard. And I can tell you this, that a lot of our players have not yet reached the standard. But some players are ahead of some, but we're trying to get everyone up to the standard. So we have Over, who's in charge of our sports science, and he's the guy who really works on getting the guys to the levels required with this team of people. Mm-hmm. So fitness is a big thing for us now. I mean, we can't take it lightly anymore. He's part and parcel of being an international sportsman.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose that would go slightly against Raheem and Cornwell, because I know for the last year they've been trying to get him to lose weight and all that. When I look at him on the field, I don't see any weight loss. I mean, my eyes might have deceived me, but he seems to look the same that he looked at 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, I really can't answer that because, again, I'm not going to look at a person and judge him from that. I think, you know, he was supposed to go through a fitness assessment sometime over the last week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And we're waiting a report on that fitness assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I said again, it's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're trying to get everyone in the Caribbean that mm-hmm. wants to play
fit
for West Indies. We want to get them fit up to a certain level.
Right.
It's not going to be easy because we're coming from, you know, a culture where a lot of our players think that less is more.
Mm.
And they figure, you know, and that's the reality where we're coming from. So this is a culture change that we're taking the guys through. It's not going to be easy, but so far, you know, the guys been trying. You know, I must say, a lot of the guys have been trying. They're working hard. I know they're not happy with the fines, but you know, we gotta make sure that we keep pushing them.
Yeah. Well, seeing the twilight of a mental giant like an Alistair Cook, I wonder how the mental fitness of the players can be assessed, and also as a diversion, many of the players in the CPL are showing a weakness in the fitness area, and I wonder if this conglomeration of assets, including fitness, will
mm-hmm.
how that will affect the selection of the T20 team.
Well, as you know, we are not directly connected to the CPL.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping, however, that, you know, we can have some relationship with them in terms of, you know, standards. And hopefully, you know, over time that they will buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we in the Caribbean, if we produce a fitter player, then the CPL will get a bigger player.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are focusing on, you know, getting our players up to the mark and the standard. And once we can do that, you know, generally around the Caribbean, we will get players where they need to be.
Mm. Gordon, would you like to see more of your young players in the CPL? Because, I mean, look at the players who went to Canada. I mean, someone like a Justin Graves, and he did so very well, you know. And, of course, we want to have opportunities for our young cricketers as well. So maybe when you sit down with the CPL, you must really talk about having possibly more young players involved.
Well, I prefer not to comment a lot on CPL,
okay, fair enough.
Andrew.
Fair enough. Fair
because
enough.
I'm gonna get...
Seems like you lost that mm-hmm. call, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
certainly the CPL is a private concern,
mm-hmm.
and I can understand
mm-hmm.
his difficulty
mm-hmm.
Going into any details with the CPL. But you do have a point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about where the next
mm-hmm.
young T20 stars coming
right,
from,
right, right.
and have we identified any up-and-coming, other than Thomas? I can't say that
mm-hmm.
we have identified
mm-hmm.
any stars for the West Indies, and this is a production problem,
right.
because in the IPL, you know,
mm-hmm.
we always find some
mm-hmm.
new players
mm-hmm.
that can go into the India
mm-hmm.
Setup later
mm-hmm.
on.
Okay, we got Courtney Brown back. We're not going to keep it too much longer. I know Kishmar wants to make a comment in the listening, making some notes. He's got his notepad there. Lots of writing as well.
Studious.
Very studious. Yeah. You want to make a comment, Kishmar?
Hi, good night, Courtney. Just quickly out.
Good night, sir.
Yes, sir. You would have made mention to Cornwall, Mr. Cornwall, in terms of some lazy level of fitness. Do you expect Raheem to let's say for instance for the yo-yo test that all the original cricketers have to do, let's say that the average standard is 40 or 35.
Mm-hmm.
With Rakim's structure,
mm-hmm.
because you know you have to understand the whole biomechanics as it relates to the structure of certain players. Let's say that his fitness or his peak
mm-hmm.
as it relates to the yo-yo test is 30 instead of the 35. Would this hamper his selection? Because you have to understand a person's body structure, and a lot of people don't know, but it has been scientifically proven that the bigger persons who actually exercise, if I have to run 4 laps and I'm a slim individual,
mm-hmm.
or I'm doing some shuttle runs, okay, and we do 5 shuttles repeatedly, the bigger person, they will be running slower, but their body, they will get a bigger fitness benefit
mm-hmm.
from that high level of intensity due to high intensity interval training, right? So even though he may be bigger than the average
mm-hmm.
cricketer,
mm-hmm.
he is still receiving or benefiting more from an exercise perspective. Raheem has lost a lot of weight from the inception, and I had totally disagreed with Andrew earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made a mention mm-hmm. about 3 years
younger
ago.
Yeah, I'm getting old, I'm wearing glasses.
Andrew is wearing
glasses.
Yeah. Right? When Raheem first started, he was way bigger than how
mm-hmm.
he is now, and
right.
he has been working very hard. He
mm-hmm.
has a gym at home, he has a trainer in Antigua.
Wonderful.
He has really slimmed down.
Mm-hmm.
Even this year, right? If you look at him this year,
mm-hmm.
compared to the last
okay.
year, yes. you've seen that he has lost weight. He is working hard.
Mm-hmm.
I would just let you know, Mr. Brown, if you expect, Is Raheem supposed to fit into this standardized training or the standard of
mm-hmm.
fitness based on his shape and body structure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will not get into the shape
right.
and body structure.
Fair enough.
I'm not as versed as you in
mechanics,
etc. and athleticism and but what I would say, I think again, as I said before, we have a group of people that is working with Raheem. I think all of us know that when we look at a player on the field, or not, and when I say look, I'm talking about what they do on the field in terms of their movement,
mm-hmm.
you know, how they bat, how they bowl, how they feel, how they keep wicket. Now we know we can see how players are improving.
Mm-hmm.
That is why we can say some players are good feelers. We can say some people are
right.
Bad feelers. We can say some are quick between the wickets. We can say some are slow between the wickets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, really and truly, when you look at the big picture,
mm-hmm.
I think for us it is really getting him
right.
in a position where everyone can see the benefit
right.
of the support team around him.
No, in terms now of the other players, as Joseph, he was out with injury. Happy with his progress so far since he's come back?
Yes. Well, we all knew. Azhar is still a very young man.
Right.
He is an investment, and he's very committed to what he's doing. He's very committed to get him back as soon as possible. You know,
mm-hmm.
he worked hard. He worked. You know, from all the reports we got, you know, he really worked hard. And get it fit again. And I think, you know, it's only a matter of time
right.
before we start seeing that potential that we all know Azhari has.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of Kemo Paul, how has he gone so far? I like this young man. I saw him destroy Barbados. Was it last year? Yes, around Independence, Barbados. And since I went to Ghana, and he bowled beautifully. I think he's a tremendous find. You're impressed with young Kemo Paul.
Oh yeah, I think we all are, and that's why he's in the squad. He's in the senior team. I think when you look at Kemo, you look at Azhari, you look at Hekimaya,
mm-hmm.
they all came from that champion on the 19 team.
Right.
So you know, we're very keen to see what the future holds for them, because there are the people and there are the young players who really have to drive us, you know, beyond the next 10 years.
Indeed. Courtney, I'm quite happy with the way Shannon Gabriel is performing. I've always been a big Shannon Gabriel supporter because, you know, when you bowl at 90 miles an hour, you know, people watch you. I mean, he didn't get it right, but in the last couple of series, he's really done very well. And no doubt you're looking forward to him, along with the old Fox, Kemal Roach, to have your bowling attack in terms of your pace.
Yeah, I think when you look at Shannon again, it's consistency. Shannon worked very hard on his fitness.
Right.
He had support around him, not only from the team management, but also from the selection panel. You know, we start with Shannon, and now, you know, we all are saying, you know, I'm so happy to hear you speak so highly of a player. You know, it's good for West Indies cricket. I think before, if you go back a little bit, I mean, West Indies cricket was always a disaster, so to speak. You know, you can look at any of the players that, I mean, besides say like a real, you know, Shiv or, you know, Chris Gayle and these guys when they were playing. You know, you can really look and see any player that you can say, yes, you know, this guy can be competitive. Consistently at the international level. And now we're seeing one or two guys, you know, going in that direction. I mean, when you look at Captain Jason Holder, you know, when he first started, when we gave him the captaincy, even as a player, you know, there was so much negatives against him. And yes, maybe we may have thrown him in a little too early, but it shows how resilient he is, and he's worked very hard. He's a competitor, and when you see these players, you see the Shannon Gabriel, you know, you see Jason Holder, Craig Bradford, who is just a rock. You know, he just finds a way. You can tell. And there's other few that I haven't mentioned. We know the potential of Shea Hope, you know, but we now have a bunch that, you know, this bunch, these have to take us forward. I mean, you know, the onus is on them to keep working hard and look to do well for the people of the Caribbean.
Now, just before you go, I know you're going to be with us for another 5 minutes or so. 44-1790, if anyone want to engage the chairman of selectors in discussion in the next 5 minutes. Do we have a call? If we do, we'll certainly invite the caller to interact with you. You know, I'm a big believer in fast bowling. I think in the Harrison days of West Indies cricket, when you had Garner and Croft and Holden and these guys, I mean, it made cricket so easy for us in the Caribbean, and you know, you got with someone like a Shannon Gabriel. Are there any young fast bowlers around on the horizon that we can keep our eyes on, Courtney? I certainly like the looks of Thomas. Washington Thomas.
Well, yes. I mean, when you look at Thomas, you look at McCoy.
Right.
If you remember, McCoy was actually in the Women World Cup squad, but he got injured. He came home, and then Shamar Holder went and replaced him. O'Shane Thomas was also in that squad, you know, down to the last 18, 20 players. He didn't make the final cut because we felt that he still needed a little more development. Because we saw him in Jamaica practicing against the under-19s at the time when we had a camp there, and we decided we will pull him in the squad because, you know, his height, his pace was there. You know, he had one or two challenges in terms of technical challenges, but, you know, where he is now, he reminds me a lot of the path that Shannon Gabriel took. You know, just coming with that raw pace, and then over time, you know, with the coaches and everyone behind you,
You know, you blossom out into something special and something that, you know, we can work with. So hopefully he will continue on that path, and hopefully in the future we can see him playing international cricket.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we got a caller. Let's go. Hello, welcome. You got a question?
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, best of missing. Yeah. I want to see with something about Corey Brown there. He's carrying two spinners. He's carrying Bishop and he's carrying Worker,
mm-hmm.
who is actually the same type of bowler.
Mm-hmm.
One is a leg spinner and one is an orthodox left arm spinner. The same thing as bowling the one batsman.
Right.
And then he's not carrying a specialist off spinner.
Right.
You know, because Chase obviously is going to be the off spinner in India. You can't carry anything the bowler to India.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, India is about pace. You got the pace of India.
Mm-hmm.
India was no pace, so actually different to the last test days in England.
Right.
And these mixing pieces of spin bowlers that we are carrying up there.
Mm-hmm.
I would have carried the boy Thomas to India right away.
Oh, interesting. Courtney, did he give any consideration to taking Thomas to India?
No.
Okay.
We didn't. I think you got to look at the history of Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
History will show that Thomas has not played a lot of first class cricket for Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had him in our 80. And he's a work in progress. I don't think you know, when we see a guy bowl four overs, you can't take that and assume it's all going to happen in a test match.
Mm-hmm. I see. Caller?
We carry Michael Holland to Australia. They hardly any experience.
Mm-hmm.
We pick up the boy Edward. I mean, when. You'll see a guy born in fast. That is what you want, you know. If you follow the theory of basketball in America, people that go in schools and look for a person with height that never really shoot the basketball and say, look, we want him. We can make him what we want, you know. So then you see the right medicine for people. Like Thomas, you throw him in there right away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Colin.
Thanks for your contribution.
Thank you.
Okay, Courtney. Well, you said you're going to spend half an hour with us, and we wouldn't want to take you, past half an hour. Your final comments. You got your team, of course, selected. To go to India, two test matches, five ODIs and three T20s. No doubt you're looking to beat India.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, Andrew, it's going to be a very tough tour.
Right.
You know, the boys need to be prepared well, so I'm sure the coaching staff is working on that. But it will be an interesting tour. Last we were there, I remember young Craig Bracken.
Right.
A young opener on that tour
mm-hmm.
as well. So I'm looking forward to see how the boys shape up in India.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Thanks for coming through and talking to us, Courtney Brown, Chairman Selector.
Thanks for having me.
Right.
Really appreciate it. Good night to your panel and
good night
to all the listeners.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed as well. Courtney Brown, the Chairman of Selectors, giving us half an hour of his time and making some interesting comments. Okay, let's pause for business calls. Mason and Guest is brought to the association with our very good friends at Marvelous Lottery, promoting youth, sport, and culture.
You got it so big, you know what I mean. $150,000
to win. So they better make a dash and play mega cash for the $20,000. On his way to Bolton, big left-handed West Indian captain Wade tapping away at the crease. Walker is on the way, and Lloyd off the back foot crashes it through the covers. That's four more runs. Beautiful shot by Lloyd, full of confidence, blowing back foot shot off the meat of the bat and racing away to the boundary. McArthur in the covers had no chance of getting it.
This tiny young fella by the name of Chiwa left all the way from China because of Kerry Packer. He said he heard so much about cricket, but he wants someone to explain it. There's much between Australia and we, so we start listening to the comments.
Out of pursued a double master's degree in sports sciences at the University of West Indies Cable Campus and at Seven Sports Science at the University of New Brunswick in Canada. As you would have mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm a former UV and CCC fast water. Sports sciences basically is the academic study of sports where you actually focus on enhancing athletic performance, where you look at particular disciplines such as biomechanics, exercise physiology, sports psychology, coaching, strength and conditioning, to state a few.
All right, let's go and take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason again.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you.
Mr. Ford, good evening.
Yeah, good night.
You're getting to the studio. Yes, sir. Andrew's baffled tonight. No, Andrew.
He's listening.
Yeah, I'm a bit hurt with my team's performance in the...
Well, Trident, huh?
Yeah, in the Trident.
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyhow, that is how the cookies crumble. We did not perform as we should have performed. Mm-hmm. And I would hope for better things next year. The guy, I thought that our bowling, really, we had too much bowlers. No real firepower at the back end. And very little came in the majority of the time from the top end.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, I'm very saddened. The other thing that hurt me, and I'm saying now tonight, after this is over,
mm-hmm.
I will not be listening to any cricket coming out of the other Caribbean islands.
Mm-hmm.
Barbadians supporters going to cricket are very passionate to whoever is playing against us, and we support. I recognize that all the games that play in the Caribbean islands, except in Trinidad,
mm-hmm.
the players are very passionate to their own people. What baffles me is that the majority of these players that are playing in the CPL
right.
are players who play for the West Indies, but they're now playing for their particular home countries.
Mm-hmm.
And these same people would jump up when they're playing against Australia, New Zealand, whatever, whenever they come there. You would not believe cricket is playing right now in St. Kitts. Now the Tridents are batting. Even the commentators are sometimes, they want to keep a lot of noise when the Patriots are batting. You know, and it is sad why we have to, you know, behave like this. The other bit too is that commentary from this thing, the Earl, I think he's Earl of Sweden or something from St. Kitts.
Mm-hmm.
At times you don't have to shout through the microphones like this. I think that these ones, the technology are very, very high tech, and you start to speak, sometimes the stronger the voice comes out. The other night when Dan Smith got over here at Kensington Oval, the other evening, you wouldn't believe it, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
My radio made a ditch. Barry kept so much noise that my radio lost the volume. It was unbelievable. Barry needs to understand that you don't have to shout at the microphone. You can speak into the phone. You're not shout like that. And I think sometimes you do more talking. He yaps more than he commentates. He needs to cut out a lot of the yapping. It is really terrifying. I know he's your friend, and I don't want you to get caught up in it. But I can tell you, when that's true, he's going to be commentating. Yes, we have not going to be listening to him either. You know, you, Keith Holder, the other guy, wouldn't be listening. I can't take him to Boy Chambers from Jamaica, or this guy that is on now. Mm-hmm. They shout too much. We don't need to shout like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I hope that our boys will. I don't think that Well, then, are you saying that now tonight? I realize that you stay far from making any comment about him. But he is not the person to lead the Trident.
Oh, dear.
He's not the person to lead the Trident.
Oh, dear.
Not at all. Check and see that he scarcely plays in the West Indies 2020. So, therefore, I don't think he's the person to lead the Trident. When we had Pollard, people talk all kind of crap. But you know what? Name the other teams besides TNT that went to the semifinals and win the tournament. Name them. Pollard took us there.
Randolph, I want to thank you because I know Johnny Gray, who's on the line.
Oh,
Gray's,
I know. Yeah, it was a blessing hearing the guy from England who used to be there on in evenings with you.
Oh, who's it?
The guy that his father had passed. He was doing on the commentary team. The English guy.
Oh, talking about Terry Bennett.
Yeah, Terry Bennett. It was a pleasure hearing Terry Bennett.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to try to get it back to do Mason and guests.
You must.
All right. Okay. So, but time is tight, Randolph.
I recognize that.
You're, of course, one of our regular callers. But we're going to try to. All right. Please.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's go to Antigua now. I know Johnny Graves is a very busy man, the CEO of Cricket West Indies. Good evening to you, Johnny.
Good evening, Andrew.
Okay, good. All right. I know you're a patient man as well. A couple of housekeeping matters. A note with interest that the side has been selected to go to India. How important is a West Indies tour to India?
Well, I think it's important as any tour, really. I mean, clearly the fact that India are currently the number one team in the world, makes it a massive tour for us and an opportunity if we do well to dramatically go up the rankings in the test format. But obviously, it's a long tour playing all three formats. It's probably one of the most challenging tours that any international side can go on in terms of the conditions and the quality of the opposition. So it's a huge tour. And clearly from the players, you're putting yourselves against the best team in the world. It's a really good measure of how far this team has come and those players, how far they've progressed individually.
And of course, it's also, I would imagine, a money-making tour, because I know when you spoke to us in relation to Bangladesh and Sri Lanka, not lots of money there, but then coming to the Caribbean, I would imagine that the coffers would be better in relation to India?
Not on this tour, unfortunately. The way the economics of world cricket is worked out, India keep all the money from this tour because it's a home tour for them and a away tour for us. So, unfortunately for us, the cost of all the player fees and airfares to get there is a cost borne by the West Indies with little or no revenue coming back. But it's reciprocated next year with a equally big tour where India are going to come to the Caribbean in July after the 2019 World Cup in the early part of August to play two tests, three one-day internationals and three T20s. So, yeah, that's a massively important tour for us, not just because it's a game against India, but clearly from an economic point of view, to have the TV money in particular from an India tour is massive. It's our biggest tour financially by a long way, the 2019 home tour of India.
So you've got two test matches, you've got five ODIs and three T20s. All the players are available to be selected in relation to T20s. I know the last time a couple of weeks we spoke, we were talking to people like Pollard and Narayan and et cetera, et cetera. Will these players be available to play in the T20?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the benefit of this year's CPL is all the Caribbean players have been available for it, and the majority are playing. And there's a few that weren't picked up in the draft, and some of those are in Canada at the moment playing for the West Indies B team. One or two are still playing in England, but on the basis that everyone was available to play in the CPL, everyone is available for selection into our T20 side. So, and the fact that all the players are playing in it gives the selectors a real good opportunity to benchmark player performances and to pick that T20 squad.
Indeed. And in terms of the England tour, I mean, they've come in here as early as January. That was a very important tour, to the West Indies in many ways, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think that 2019 stands to be probably, in financial terms, one of the biggest years, if not the biggest year ever in the history of West Indies cricket. with a big home England tour, as you say, with three test matches, mm-hmm. 5-1 internationals and three T20s in the Caribbean. Not just the TV money that comes from playing in England at home. Obviously, good time zones, only 4 or 5 hours behind England. But the travelling England supporters create a huge economic impact for the countries that host the game. So it's a huge tour for us. And then obviously into the World Cup, and then followed by that India tour. So to host the two biggest sides financially for us in England and India in the same year, make 2019, a massively important year for us financially.
And before you have that England tour, you've got the Super 50 coming up. My understanding, Barbados will be hosting a zone, and in that zone, you're going to have the semi-finals and the finals being played here in Barbados. I understand Trinidad and Tobago will be hosting another zone. When are we going to get the ATV for that? It's really close.
Yeah, the itinerary should be out in the next few days. Yeah, we're just confirming the last few sort of logistics of that tournament and the teams that are participating. I think we're now in that countdown to the 50 over World Cup in England that starts in May next year. So the Super 50, again, we're hoping that all the players that want to play 50 over cricket are available for that. And it gives, again, the selectors a really good opportunity to look at, some of the younger players that have started to perform well, and also some of the more established players that are maybe looking to get back into the 50 over side. So the test players, will for the first part of Super 50 be India, and then the one-day players will go off to India probably halfway through the Super 50, and I'm sure some of those test players will come back into either Barbados or Trinidad and play for their franchises in the latter stages of Super 50 as well.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have all those players available for Super 50, hopefully. You know, there's going to be some doubts as to whether the Pollards and the Bravos and the Narines will be available, so you can confirm that at least they should be taking some part in the 50-over competition, which is going to be held in Trinidad and Barbados, I'm told.
Yeah, that's certainly the status at the moment, and my understanding of the situation is that both Darren and Dwayne Bravo, Kieran Pollard and Sonny Narine have want to play in the Super 50 this year, which, as I say, hopefully is good for West Indies cricket. It's great for the tournament. It's obviously great for those franchise teams to have such experienced players coming back into those teams, and I think the competition will be stronger for their participation. And if they perform well, then I'm sure they'll be giving the selectors a real headache in terms of picking that one-day international side as we build up to that 2019 World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Barring any injuries in the CPL, we're very much hoping that all the players, or all the best players in the region, will be available to be playing in the Super 50 that aren't taking part in that test tour in India.
Now, just before you go, Johnny, of course, you just finished your under-19s in St. Vincent. Did that go okay in terms of management, logistics?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, St. Vincent, a fantastic host. We've got huge gratitude to them for hosting that tournament in the way that they did. It's a really important stepping stone in the pathway to our young players, who are aspiring to become professional cricketers. So it was a really good tournament. And as I say, we're probably 18 months away from the next under-19 World Cup. So it's probably for some of those players, the younger players, they've still got the opportunity to put their names in the hat for that tournament. For the other players, it's just another opportunity for them to showcase their talents and hopefully continue their cricket careers and be picked up by franchises at some point in the future.
How do you determine, though, which country will host which test match? I know you've got, Barbados hosting the first test. You've also got, Antigua hosting the second. Then you go to St. Lucia. Then they've got a couple of, one-day games. How is it done? How is the process done in terms of making the determination as to which country will host what?
Yeah, so we visited all the governments of the region back in February, March, and the early part of April this year, explaining the allocation of cricket that we had in 2019, not just the men's England and India tours, but also the women's series against Australia and the Super 50 Cup, and discuss with the governments the opportunity that specifically, I think, really the England tour gives in terms of the economic impact and the information and the independent studies that we've had dated back from 2015 and 2017 when England last toured. And we've asked those governments to support the cost of those tours and to help us financially with them. And a number of the governments have come forward and pledged their support of hosting that tour. And the International Fixtures Committee made a recommendation to our board of directors to appoint Barbados, Antigua, St. Lucia for the test, and Barbados, Grenada, St. Lucia, and St. Kitts for the white ball cricket. And yeah, we announced the schedule early this week. And I think it's the first time since 2015 that we're taking international cricket back to Grenada, which, which is great for them and great for us. So it's, and I think, you know, realistically, if you look at that tour, I guess from a UK point of view, they're all top tourist destinations and countries for England's travelling fans. So it's probably no surprise that the tourist boards and governments of those countries were keenest to hold the England tours. And with so much cricket in 2019 remaining from both that women's series against Australia and the India tour, you know, there's plenty of cricket to go around. And we're always very conscious to spread international cricket throughout the region. So we're hoping that those countries that missed out on this tour will be able to host some international matches in 2019.
My final question to you, I know it's an ICC event. Of course, you've got the women coming here for the World T20. How is it going? Do you feel it already? I know that Philip Spoon has been working very, very hard. What is the involvement of the Cricket West Indies in relation to the management of that, if any at all?
Well, we set up local operating committees in the three countries that are hosting, St. Lucia, Guyana and Antigua, and we've got our own project team that's 100% of their time and focus is spent on the tournament. It has been for many months, probably over a year now, in fact. It's a huge event for us to organise, showcasing the Caribbean, not just from a cricket perspective, but from all angles to the world, the cricket-loving world. And it's a massive event for us, and very rare that the defending world champions get to host a world event in their territory. So it's probably even more important for us and more focused because we are the defending world champions, and not only do we want to host a world-class event and show the world everything that the Caribbean has to offer, we really want our Windies women team to defend their title on home soil. So it's a massive event. The planning is well underway. Tickets are going to go on sale. On sale now, in fact, online, and will be on sale in Guyana, St. Lucia, Antigua shortly. And the Windies women's team left Antigua a couple of days ago from their camp, and they've got a couple of days back at home before joining up in Barbados ahead of the South Africa series. And that South Africa series is, really important part of our preparation. We've got 3 1-day internationals as part of the women's cricket league, cricket championship, and then we've got 5 T20s. So to play 5 games against South Africa is perfect sort of preparation for our Windies team as they are, as I say, looking to defend their title on home soil.
All right. Thanks to you, John Graves, the CEO of Cricket West Indies. It's good to hear from you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right. There you have it. Interesting. Before we go to our commercial break, he said that all the players are available. It's going to be interesting to see if the Bravos go to India. Of course, you've got Pollard as well. And we also understand that for the Super 50, which is going to be started in October, Trinidad is hosting the zone and Barbados, so we're awaiting the schedule. Listen again.
On his way to Bolton, big left-handed West Indian captain Wade tapping away at the crease. Walker is on the way, and Lloyd off the back foot crashes it through the covers. That's 4 more runs. Beautiful shot by Lloyd. Full of confidence. Flowing back foot shot. Off the meets the batter, racing away to the boundary. McCosker in the covers had no chance of catching it.
This tiny young fan.
On his way to Bolton, big left-handed West Indian captain Wade tapping away at the crease. Walker is on the way, and Lloyd off the back foot crashes it through the covers. That's 4 more runs. Beautiful shot by Lloyd. Full of confidence. Flowing back foot shot. Off the meets the batter, racing away to the boundary. McCosker in the covers had no chance of catching it.
This tiny young fella by the name of Chihuahua left all the way from China.
lost today. Let's hope that Serena can come back and win against Pliskova, who actually defeated her 2 years ago at the semifinal stage. So we're back in Serena all the way. Are you a Serena man?
Of course. Early days, just one break away from leveling things. And, you know, she can start slowly sometimes. But the Barbados team made 168.
Oh, that's an improvement.
Major contributors, as we said earlier, Smith 26 and 25 balls. Puran was the top scorer, 44 and 32 balls. And Ralston Chase, 38 in 28 balls, not out. And Jason Holder put the final impetus for the score with 30 and 11 balls, scoring at 272.72. So that's an improvement. And the bowling against us, BJ Cutting got a bit of a flashing, 4 overs to 57 runs. But Shamsi had an impressive start, 4 overs to 16 runs and took 2 wickets. And Mamadoula, 4 overs to 35 runs. And he took 1 wicket. And at present, the Kitts Patriots are just 1 without loss in 3 balls.
1 without loss in 3 balls. Do you think the Kismara, the Tridents can win this?
I would like to hope that they can win this. But
you're hoping?
Based on the current form,
you got your doubts?
Yes, sir.
Well, what about the bowling? I mean, it doesn't seem to be that good at all. Dr. Ford spoke a lot about it earlier. Because we don't, I mean, when you look at that bowling attack, let's look at the spin. You've got Ashley Nurse, you've got Chan, but I don't know, there's no real top
front-line
spinner, I mean, in the side, you know, and that concerns me. Does it concern you as well?
Yes, obviously it concerns me. If you look at majority of the other T20 franchises, they have, if not a mystery spinner, a very good T20 bowler. Even if they're not taking a lot of wickets, they can bowl very tight.
Right.
And, you know, T10 cricket, or any cricket you play, is not only about batting partnerships. You also have to look at the bowling partnerships. You know, you may be bowling like 4 overs for 10 runs, whereas the wickets are falling on the other end. Right? But the pressure that I would have applied from my bowling, you understand, can work out very well advantageously for my team.
All right. We've got 7 minutes left in the show. Can't have a show without going to the land of wood and water, your favorite country, Dr. Ford. When you go
there.
You eat a lot of ackee and saltfish and liver and banana, all these things. Bring back a nice yummy bun for me as well. And yams, so good to get those yellow yams there in Spain. All right, let's go to Jamaica and talk to Wayne Lewis, who was brought up, of course, on the ackee and saltfish of Kingston. Hello, Wayne Lewis, how are you?
Andrew, very good evening to you. Good evening to all here. Listeners as well, and of course, your family.
All right. Now, talk to me. We tried to reach you earlier. Were you in Trelawney?
I'm in Red Hills. That's where I live.
Oh, in Red Hills. Mm. But of course, you know, I know Jamaica well. Red Hills is a place where the big boys live.
I'm a small boy.
Indeed. Now, talk to me about the CPL. Are you enjoying the CPL, Wayne?
I am, actually. I mean, you know, it's exciting. It's good to see this youngster, Odin Thomas in particular, has been very outstanding and impressive with the athlete. He's aboard a lot of fire and shown a lot of, for a young man, you know, some tremendous experience to the point where they are even using him at the death. So that to me is a standout. But all in all, the crowd support has been tremendous. I'm just a bit disappointed that, I mean, even though I understand the situation, right, you know, Talawa's had to play 3 other games in Florida. And I'm sure, based on the support that they got for those 2 games in Jamaica, that they'll reconsider their position next year, because the crowd support was excellent. They were like 85% full on the first day and like 100% on the second day. So, and Jamaica won both games as well, and then we lost all 3, and people are talking about it. So I'm expecting them to yield come next year.
Talking about Thomas, we had Courtney Brown, the chairman of selectors, on earlier. And we got some interaction from our callers. And the first caller that spoke to Courtney Brown said that he would pick Thomas in his team to India. Would you have done that?
Well, I've never been to India, but I would never, ever criticize the selectors for selecting a youngster. Never. That's my stance. It's an investment in the future.
Right.
So I'm all for that. I know usually I'm watching the IPL and so on. Pitches sometimes are not conducive to fast bowling, and therefore he could be hammered in India on those flat pitches. So, I mean, you could also learn a lot from going on a tour of that nature as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some merit to the argument. He's young, he's strong, he's tall, and, you know, with proper preparation and get some coaching and get the specialist and to really work with him,
mm-hmm.
that he can be, you know, a handful for both batters going forward. So, therefore, there would be nothing wrong with investing in a youngster like that. He could only serve West Indies really well if he learns enough and move forward quickly.
Do you like the side holder, Ambrose, Bishu, Brathwaite, Chase, Durridge, Gabriel, Hamilton, Hetmeyer, Hope, Joseph, Paul, Powell, Roach, and the last name there, Warrican. You like that squad?
It's a decent squad, if you ask me. And, I mean, you know, I'd be very careful here. I'm the secretary of Weeper. I'm going to put that out.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be careful with my summation because, you know, I don't want to set up a player against another player. But, however, I've never inserted in my argument. I think if a player is good enough, it doesn't matter to me where he's from. You know, I'm going to call out his name. I think that it's unfortunate that Blackwood has found himself out of the Western squad. I think that his performance for the West Indies over the year hasn't been too
bad. No.
I think that, you know, obviously I'm a little disappointed that the selectors have lost faith in German Blackwood. And I'm going to add at least 40% culpability on Blackwood still. I thought that at times, and I had a good chat with him about a month ago,
mm-hmm.
and he's very energized and re-energized, if you will, and he's really, really committed, and he wants to move forward. But I told him that it's his fault that he's not in the West Indies team, and therefore he has taken responsibility on that. There's no bitterness on his part. He thinks that had he scoring runs,
mm-hmm.
he was scoring runs, then his name would not be, you know, omitted. So, but at the same time, I think that the selectors could have worked with him some more, and I'm disappointed about that. But other than that,
mm-hmm.
I like continuity, and these guys are owning their skills quite nicely,
mm-hmm.
and I think in the not-too-distant future, West Indies will start to be a lot more consistent, similar to what they did in England. Going back to that second test that they won in England at Headingley, that
mm-hmm.
shows that they have the ability to do well and stand up against any opposition. And therefore, I'm hoping that they learn from these stories so that West Indies can move forward.
Interesting comments you make about Blackwood. I'm a little surprised as well. You know, even if he doesn't get into the test side, to me, he's a good enough player to you know, be considered for the ODIs, and even 20, he's not even in any untied, is it? And he's that kind of a cricketer, free scoring bats, an excellent fielder, and if you can call on him to bowl a bit of spin as well, I certainly agree with that. Talk to me in the remaining couple of minutes we have about O'Shane Thomas. What part of Jamaica is he from? I like him. I'm all excited about fast bowlers. In the Halcyon days of West Indies cricket, we had fast bowlers, people about 90 miles an hour. What part of Jamaica is he from, young Thomas?
I think he's from Clarendon. No,
he's
no one
Clarendon man.
Much.
Okay.
I think so, because when I was chairman of the under-19 selection panel, he played in Jamaica in that series when Ghana was in the final. A very keenly contested game, and I thought that he bowled well throughout that series, but his outfielding wasn't good, and he could not bat at all.
Mm.
But I've seen him working hard, and his batting hasn't improved in that era. I'm not too certain about his batting, but I think he has improved a lot in the field, but I know that he had pace and he needed some work. And it's just a pity that we don't have an out and out academy where
mm-hmm.
a youngster like that could hone his own skills
mm-hmm.
in the settings of our academy where specialist fast bowling coaches could really work with this youngster because he has pace and he's strong and he has a bit of height as well.
Yeah, I like him.
Yes,
I think he's strong. We've got to get him invested in his cricket department, Gabriel. No, I'll do that. Okay, but I want to thank you very much. 30 seconds left. By the way, Serena Williams has broken. It's now 4:40 serving, and we wish her well. Final comments from you, Wayne. Who do you think will win the CPL?
Wow. Guyana Jaguars. I believe in the law of average. The Guyana team in particular, they went to the final three times, and they lost all three games.
Mm.
I don't believe that anything will lose forever. If they get to the final, I'm expecting the law of average to be kind to them. Also, I know that Trinidad, what's it, Red Steel, that's their name?
DKR.
I don't
Let's call them DKR.
they can be handful. They play with a lot of enthusiasm, some dangerous players in that team. They can do some damage as well. And I think that also the Scorpions, I mean, not the Tarawa, sorry, they bat well. I think they have an excellent chance of winning this tournament. I think their bowling is pretty strong. If they bat well, they're going to be handful as well. So between those three, they are.
All right. Thanks to you, Wayne Lewis, up there in Red Hills in Kingston, Jamaica, where the big boys live. All right. Thanks to you. Thanks to all those who participated. Fellow Wallace was very much on the show as well. We heard from the CEO, Johnny Graves. Courtney Brown was very much with us as well. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's Open for a Variety tomorrow. It's good night.
Well, there you have it. Direct from Barbados, Mason and guests. We invite you, if you have not heard the whole of the show, you can go back into our archives and take a listen. Good night. God bless. Have a wonderful evening as well.